The Senate will please come to order. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Dingfelder. Ferrioli.
So.
George. Gerard. Gerard. Hass. Hass. Johnson. Johnson. Cruz. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonsky. Przonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Schrader. Starr. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. President Courtney.
A quorum is present. We will post the colors. And Senator Devlin will lead us in the pledge. The invocation today is by Pastor David Schimmel from the Salem Evangelical Church here in Salem.
Shall we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given to us, for it is the day that has been given to us that we may rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for the opportunities that you are giving to us today to serve you and to serve others. We're thankful that your mercies are brand new every day and that we have the opportunity to begin again today. We give you thanks, Lord, for the privilege and opportunity of living in this great state. And Lord, we give you thanks for having a government that is representative of the people. And yet we realize, O Lord, that there are many problems and challenges before us. And at times we may feel like we're in the book of Revelation or the four horsemen of the apocalypse, of war and terror and the economy and jobs and threat of flu and many other problems. And yet we come to you, O Lord, with the hope that all things are possible with you and that we come to ask you for wisdom and guidance to find our way through this. That we're reminded, Lord, of that great Kentucky Derby that was just run, of Mind That Bird that was able to find a way and was able to get right through the problems of the other horses. And so we come to you, O Lord, asking for that opportunity. Give us vision to inspire us. Give us faith to believe that all things are possible and that you will make a way. Lord God, we give you thanks for the wisdom and knowledge that you've given to each of these senators. May they believe that they are your servants and that they have been given this opportunity, Lord, to make this state a better place. And Lord, we pray also for our families. Protect them, guide them, direct them. Help us as families to be one together. And each of us have our own individual problems and challenges and losses. And Lord, you have given us the promise you will never leave us or forsake us. And that, Lord, we can call upon you at any time. And so in the quiet of our own room, our own home, we can reach out to you, as well as we would ask for your help in reaching out to each other. Lord, keep us humble before you, realizing that this world belongs to you, and that we are your servants and the servants of the people, and that, Lord, you have given us this time in history to make a difference. And Lord, we give you thanks in the name of the one who showed his love for us and is always with us, the one who's opened a way into your presence. It's in his name, Jesus, my Savior. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor David Schimmel. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to Pastor Schimmel from the Oregon State Senate. Thank you, Richard Devon, for leading us in the pledge. Evangeline Heath, Heather O'Donnell, and Allison Smith are the guest honorary pages of Senator Devlin. Emily Sanders, the honorary page guest of Senator Verger. Kolya Kostrikin is the honorary page of Senator Johnson. And Keith Daly, the honorary page of Senator Frank Morris. Thank you, honorary pages, for being here today, for helping us with our Senate duties and activities. I'd like to extend the courtesy of the Senate to each honorary page. We rely on you and your work you do for us to get us through the day, so thank you for willing to help us get through this session day. We're now in the courtesy of the Senate. Recognize Senator Frank Morris, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I would ask that you extend courtesies to my guest this morning, Dr. Jack Lees, a longtime personal friend from Albany. He's also my ophthalmologist. And he's joining us today on the floor to experience what it is that we do here today. So, Mr. President, please extend courtesies. Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Jack Lees.
Doctor, glad you could be here. I've often had the need of an ophthalmologist for my eyes, and they've treated me very well. So I thank you for being willing to come to the Senate floor. I'd like to extend the courtesies of the Senate to you. It's an honor and a privilege to have you here. Thank you. Further courtesies, remonstrances, recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Mr. President and colleagues, I just wanted to say something nice about our beautiful Capitol grounds and have you all take a notice. Yesterday there was benches that were installed in the rotunda. And as my good friend, now Senator, then Representative Jeff Cruz, inspired me over 11 years ago to walk through the rotunda and up the stairs to the chamber every day that you serve, I would encourage all of you to do the same. Last week also, there was a group of volunteers from our beloved Senate who went out and planted plants in front of the fountains, which are now on, and I encourage all of you to see them. The Capitol is becoming a jewel that it always should have been, and the mood around here is changing to take care of it, and I couldn't be more proud and encourage all of you to take a look.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Brian Boquist, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, last week I carried HB 2303, which updated the Service Members Civil Relief Act, and it had an emergency clause on there for a specific reason. Also last week, I covered the Military Family Appreciation Day. It had an emergency clause on there for a specific reason. And today, I'm carrying another bill in guarding Iran, and it has an emergency clause on a specific reason. On Saturday, colleagues, in the Memorial Coliseum, there was an event, and yesterday, the last solemn event happened down in Medford. That solemn event is the formal mobilization of the 41st Infantry Brigade of the Oregon Army National Guard. 3,200 members were mobilized over the last 3 days. They are trucking out of the state as we speak. 2,700 of them are from the state of Oregon. And on July 1, the day after that we hopefully adjourn, they'll be on patrol in Iraq. They'll be broken down into rifle companies and scattered across the country to protect convoys. They'll be on the front lines. Unfortunately, many of them will not come home. Many will come home wounded. I would simply ask that on July 1, we all pray for him.
Further remonstrances? Message from the House.
Mr. President, my address from the House has passed. House Bill 3021, 2987, 3039, 3171, 2366, 2306, 2383, 2434, 2507, 2585, 2702, 2790, 2821, 2874, 2970, 2988, 3116, 3219, 3273, 3463, 2727. The Speaker has signed House Bills 2261, 2303, and 2762.
The reports from conference committees. Reports from standing committees. In accordance with SR 8.551, committee report summary number 82 was distributed to members today. This information will be recorded in the Journal of State Report and is so ordered. Reports from special committees. Propositions and motions. Action on executive appointments requiring the Senate confirmation. Introduction to the first reading of Senate measures. The second reading of Senate measures.
SGR 16, expressing support, legislative support for efforts to promote peaceful coexistence of Christians and Muslims in the Republic of Turkey. Senate Bill 23, with the Oregon Patient Safety Commission. Senate Bill 34, with taxation. Senate Bill 208, with the suspension of driving privileges. Senate Bill 495, with the taxation of interest of electronic transmission lines. Senate Bill 867, with public accountancy. Senate Bill 876 relating to immunosuppressant drugs. Senate Bill 971, with the training costs of employees of government agencies.
These are passed to the calendar. Third reading of Senate measure. Recognize Senator Devlin.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Democrats request a 15-minute caucus in their caucus room.
Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli.
Yes, Mr. President. Senate Republicans likewise request a 15-minute caucus in their caucus room.
Senate will be in recess until 10:50. Senate stands in recess. The Senate will please come to order, and the clerk will please call the roll.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
He's here. Quorum is present. The Senate recessed under the order, third reading of the Senate measures, and will revert to propositions and motions. It is so ordered. Recognize Senator Ted Ferry Oley, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move that the rules be suspended in order that the Senate may take action on third reading House Bill 2079 immediately.
Senator Ferry Oley has moved that the rules be suspended in order that the Senate may take action on the third reading of House Bill 2079 immediately. To your motion.
Yes, Mr. President. Mr. President, the House Bill 2079 was sponsored at the request of a particular individual who's traveled a great distance to be here. And if we undertake this bill now, that person will not have to remain until the evening session. So we would like to undertake the bill immediately.
If there is no debate, and there is no debate allowed, if there's no objection, it is so ordered. Clerk will read the bill.
House Bill 2079, with personal petition devices.
I recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this bill was brought at the request of Deputy Roger Pierce. Deputy Pierce serves as search and rescue coordinator for the Marine Deputy and is the Marine Deputy responsible for trolling the Deschutes and Columbia Rivers. In the email that Deputy Pierce sent to my office, he wrote, quote, "It's part of my job to recover the bodies of drowning victims in Wasco County. Over the past 20 years, the vast majority of those drowning deaths have occurred in the Deschutes River in Class 3 or greater rapids to persons not wearing life jackets." Colleagues, the purpose of House Bill 2079 is simple. It's to educate people about the dangers of these rapids. It's to save money spent on the recovery efforts that's expended by local search and rescue teams and local law enforcement and local communities. It's to reduce the psychological toll on search and rescue personnel who are called out often after a drowning to recover bodies. And most importantly, the purpose of this bill is to save lives. Mr. President, during the testimony on this bill, we saw absolutely compelling evidence that individuals who run rivers where Class 3 rapids are present and who are not wearing an approved life support system, an approved life jacket, run a risk that they may not fully comprehend, and one that unfortunately results in many fatalities. House Bill 2079 makes the life jacket requirement the same for both guided and non-guided boats on rivers with Class 3 and above whitewater rapids. The bill also provides a penalty for noncompliance equal to the penalty for other flotation device infractions. House Bill 2079, Mr. President, has the support of the Oregon State Marine Board of Directors, the BLM Rangers and Enforcement Officers, the Oregon Sheriff's Associations, the Deschutes River Management Team, and that management team includes state agencies, counties, tribes, local, and community, other communities along the river. Mr. President, I urge an aye vote on House Bill 2079.
Thank you. Further discussion? Question now rise upon the third reading and final passage of House Bill 2079. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Schrader. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Lawrence Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. George. Gerard. 28 ayes.
The House Bill 2079, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. We will now return to the regular order of the Senate's business, which is the third reading of Senate measure. Clerk, read the bill.
Senate Bill 8, relating to emergency services.
Recognize Senator Lori Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 8 comes to you from the Health Policy and Veterans Committee. with a unanimous consent vote. This legislation would allow volunteer health practitioners licensed in other states and registered with the volunteer health practitioner registration system that Oregon already has for in-state volunteer health practitioners. This legislation basically will allow practitioners such as surgeons and nurses from other states to put their name on our registry, and then in the event of a disaster such as a tsunami or an earthquake, these licensed health professionals from another state would be able to practice within their scope that Oregon has. Out-of-state professionals, they cannot exceed their scope of practice as established by the licensing jurisdiction unless it was expressly authorized to do so by Oregon. There were two surgeons from Tulane University who started this Uniform Emergency Volunteer Health Practitioners Act due to their experience with the disaster of Katrina in Louisiana. They saw on the TV, CNN, that there was a need for available physicians to help. So they made a homemade sign which was placed on the dash of their car so that the police and the guard would know that they were physicians. Well, they went from hospital to hospital, basically. The hospitals were already closing down. Finally, after a diligent search, they found the only functioning hospital on the coast, and it had one surgeon present and had been there for 4 days and would love to have some surgical support. So they went to the hospital and the chief of staff, and they contacted the hospital. So the chief administrator at the hospital then called the hospitals to make sure that these physicians were legit. Well, they were able to, one hospital was able to send an affidavit saying, yes, this physician is okay. However, the second physician practiced at the hospital that was closed, and so they could not get any information on this other physician. Well, these two surgeons, because their paperwork couldn't go through a process, were not able to actually relieve the surgeon that had already been working for 4 days helping Katrina victims. And so what this bill will do is actually, with the passage of this bill, physicians can be put their names on this registry. When we have a disaster, they will be able to practice without having to get all of this credentialing paperwork through to allow them to actually practice in any hospital. So it is a good bill, and I would encourage you to vote aye. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Question on Rise 130, the final pass, Senate Bill 8. Those opinion bills pass, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Star. Star. Telfer. Telfer.
Telfer.
Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfeather. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przanski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused, Burdick, 29 ayes.
Senate Bill 8, having received constant majority, declared passed. Senator Montes Anderson, for what purpose you rise?
A request to return to courtesies, please.
Please feel free to do so.
Colleagues, there are some students, 75 actually, fourth graders from East Gresham Elementary School. This was actually my elementary school when I went to school. I went to East Gresham grade, and so I would like you to extend courtesies to them. And they are, I forget what they are, a Hornets? No.
Thank you. Thank you, Senator Montes Anderson. I'd like to welcome the East Gresham Elementary school students that are here. Glad you could come to the state capitol and join in our session today. We hope you have a nice day, and please come back again to see your state capitol. Thank you for coming very much. We'll now turn to the regular order of Senate business. Under the third reading of Senate measure, the clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 10, relating to Emory County adoptions.
Recognize Senator Floyd Przanski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 10 came out of your Judiciary Committee on a 5-0 vote. Basically what this bill does, it takes in what the Hague Convention on the protection of children and cooperations in respect of inter-country adoption, also formerly known as the Hague Adoption Convention, into play into this state, and will actually provide for a better protection and assurances that children that are being adopted out of the state of Oregon into an international community will have certain safeguards that will be met by those host countries. It's a good bill. It will, in fact, allow and protect our children to a better degree, and sincerely will have the work of the Department of Human Services accomplishing the task that we all want to make certain that children that are adopting out either in-state or out-of-state or out of the country are being adopted into welcoming areas with the safeguards and protections that we all want for these children. Thank you.
Thank you, Senator. Further discussion? Question now rises upon 30. The final passage of Senate Bill 10. Those opinion bills pass out. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett.
Aye.
Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Aye.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Carter.
Aye.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli. George. Gerard,
Hass,
Johnson,
aye.
Cruz, Metzger,
Juanes
Anderson, Juanes Anderson, Monroe,
aye.
Morissette,
aye.
Morse,
aye.
Nelson,
aye.
Przonski,
aye.
Rosenbaum,
aye.
Schrader,
aye.
Starr,
aye.
President Courtney,
yes.
Carter, excuse, Burdick, 29 ayes.
The Senate Bill 10, every seat of Congress majority is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 38, relating to climate change.
Recognize Senator Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 38 comes to you unanimously from the Senate Environment and Natural Resources Committee. This bill is needed to fill a gap in the Environmental Quality Commission's ability to collect greenhouse gas emission information from power importers and fuel distributors. And last October, the EQC adopted rules to require certain industrial sources, in-state power generators, wastewater treatment plants, and landfills to report their greenhouse gas emissions to the DEQ. The existing rule covers only a portion of the state's greenhouse gas emissions, and additional authority is necessary to get a more complete picture. This will help us gain a better understanding of Oregon's greenhouse gas emissions to inform us as we move forward, and also to track progress towards our emission reduction goals. The language in this bill was negotiated between stakeholders for a number of weeks during the 2008 session in my committee in the House, and now contains general provisions to reduce the burden of reporting on both power importers and fuel distributors, along with some specific provisions to streamline reporting for consumer-owned utilities and liquefied petroleum gas suppliers. There was no testimony in opposition to this bill, and one amendment was added at the request of Pacific Power without objection from any other interested party to further refine the potential reporting obligations of power importers. I vote for Senate Bill 38, and this will provide us with a more comprehensive greenhouse gas reporting program for Oregon.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Jeff Crows, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, the absurdity of the direction we as a state are going on environmental issues is stunning, in my opinion. Nobody thought that carbon was a pollutant until Al Gore did his movie. And by the way, Al Gore has made over $1 billion on carbon credits, so he obviously knew what he was doing. And also, by the way, Al Gore's movie, An Inconvenient Truth, had 35 glaring and intentional errors in the data that was collected and reported and the effects that would be derived from that data. I'm wondering if this body is aware of the fact that 95% of the global warming gases in the atmosphere are water vapor. 95%. I wonder if this body is aware, and this is one of the errors that Al Gore made when he was doing his core sampling of the ice in Antarctica. He reversed cause and effect in the samples. What we know for a fact is that a warming temperature increases the amount of carbon in the atmosphere, not the other way around. The temperature causes the increase. The carbon doesn't cause the temperature increase. We know that. It is a fact. We also know that there are now over 35,000 scientists in the United States who are saying man-made global warming is a myth. The response from the White House is they're entitled to their opinion. We also know that in Obama's last stimulus package, he put in $3.4 billion for research on global warming. So obviously there is an agenda at stake here and a direction we're going. But colleagues, in reality, Oregon cannot solve a global problem, if indeed there is one. And so we are going to do things that are going to require more reporting. It says may in the bill. By rule, the EQC can do a whole lot of things by rule, according to this bill. I realize that this was a quote-unquote compromise during this session, but compromises this session seem to be done with a lot of folks with a gun being held to their head, say either you go along with this or we'll do something worse. And I don't consider that to be a compromise. Colleagues, carbon is a base element of life. It is not a pollutant. We need to get over this myth.
Recognize Senator Atkinson, please.
Mr. President, declare potential conflict of interest.
Please note your potential conflict of interest.
Mr. President, out of an abundance of caution, my company consulted for PacifiCorp in 07 and 08.
Your potential conflict of interest is noted for the record. Senator Nelson, please.
Yes, thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to be voting no on this bill, following up a little bit with the senator from Roseburg. In the practical world, we've gone through this issue with the Great Depression. In the 1930s, there was a 30% reduction in man-made carbon dioxide, and yet the temperatures continued to rise, and carbon dioxide from natural sources continued to rise. We're in a situation where we're talking about spending money. There's always a cost to these bills. We need to be very careful of that. And if this is not an issue, if this is not something that's going to cause us any great problem, let's not be voting for these type of bills. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Gerard.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'll be voting no on this bill as well. I think it's important that if you do support the greenhouse gas argument, that you do realize that the number one emitter of greenhouse gases is not fossil fuels or is not any of these targeted areas. It's forest fires. And the shutdown of the timber industry, the failure to allow clear cuts and fire breaks, that's your number one emitter, fivefold more than fossil fuels. So the people that, the environmental extremists that are asking for these, needs to open up the timber industry if they're going to go in that direction, and this bill obviously doesn't do that. So I'll be voting no.
Further discussion. Senator Dingfelder, you're to closing. Senator Dingfelder, do you wish to close? He does not. Question otherwise upon a third reading to final passage of Senate Bill 3-8. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Berger. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist.
Boquist.
Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Farioli. Farioli.
Go on.
George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Bonas Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Farioli. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Atkinson, Farioli, George, Gerard, Cruz, Nelson, Starr, Whitsett, Winters, 21 ayes.
The Senate Bill 3-8, having received the Constitution of Majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 227, limiting furnishing alcohol beverages to minor.
Recognize Senator Doug Whitsett.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 227 was filed at the request of the Attorney General's Underage Drinking Task Force and came out of the Senate Judiciary Committee on a 5-0 vote. In addition to the existing Class A misdemeanor, Senate Bill 227 would increase the fines for knowingly furnishing alcohol to a minor or someone who is visibly intoxicated. It would increase the first conviction from $350 to at least $500, the second to at least $1,000, and the third or any subsequent convictions from $1,000 to at least $1,500. Senate Bill 227A also allows a court to waive at least $200, but not more than one-third of the imposed fine if the violator performs at least 30 hours of community service. Senate Bill 227 has no revenue impact and a minimal fiscal impact while increasing public safety. Mr. President, I urge an aye vote.
Discussion. Question on rise, round 30, to final passage of Senate Bill 227. Those in opinion of the bill's passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson.
Second Atkinson.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. President Courtney.
Yes.
Not answering. Ferrioli. 30 ayes.
The Senate Bill 227, having received the Constitution of Judge Clerk, passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 287, with licensing of the Judge's facility.
Recognize Senator Jeff Crows.
Thank you, Mr. President. This is a very simple bill, colleagues, to allow the Department of Human Services to be able to deal with a licensee with multiple facilities, and we narrowed it down to be dealing specifically with DD, adult foster care facilities. If they find one of the facilities that is out of compliance, it gives them theoretically the ability to shut down all of the facilities under the same license. That will be used more as a stick or as a threat. What we heard from the agency was that they would not indeed probably ever shut down a facility without doing an inspection. But this hopefully will allow the department to deal in a more definitive way with some of the problems we have been having in our adult foster care system. I urge an aye vote.
Discussion. Question now arises round 30 in the final passage of Senate Bill 287. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Montez Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Ferrioli. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. George Gerard, 20 ayes.
The Senate Bill 287, Mr. Council Majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 303, relating to community special agents.
Recognize Senator Floyd Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 303 came out of your Judiciary Committee on a 5-0 vote. What 303A will do will allow humane special agents that have been commissioned by the governor to continue their education and training once they've been commissioned through DPSST. Basically, when they come back up, they can get renewal courses and stay abreast of the current changes in law and doing their job appropriately. The training cost of this will be paid by the annual agency that is employing the individuals going through DPSST. Thank you, Mr. President.
Discussion. Question on rise, final third reading, final passage of Senate Bill 303. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Winters. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
The Senate Bill 303, average cost of majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 344, Williams County Officers.
Recognize Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. President. SB 344B deals with the position of surveyor, a professional technical position at the county level. This would allow counties that are currently home rule counties can have the surveyor either appointed or elected, whichever way they choose. In this particular bill, what this does is extends that opportunity for surveyors to the other counties that are not home rule counties. This grew out of a situation in Yamhill County where we have an absolute amazing public servant in the county surveyor who was limited both by term limits and then also he had just recently got married and moved with his wife to Washington County and was therefore no longer eligible to be this great public servant in Yamhill County. So this would give Yamhill County the opportunity to have that position appointed as a professional position and not as an elected position, gives it an option at the county level, limits it only to surveyors, and as you know, it's B engrossed. We took this back to committee and made some additional amendments to it to take out the assessors, and I urge an aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion? Question of advice by third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 344. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger, Juanes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney. Voting no, Ferrioli, Cruz, Nelson, Whitsett, Winters, 25 ayes.
The Senate Bill 344, having the cost of majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 498, when the retroactivity of laws applied to Department of Revenue.
Recognize Senator Jenny Burdick.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 498A comes out of your Senate Finance and Revenue Committee on a unanimous vote. This would prohibit the Department of Revenue from applying an administrative rule retroactively if someone had filed their returns on time and complied with the previous rule. This is a very narrowly crafted bill, but it would prevent those situations where a taxpayer in good faith files their return based on a certain rule and then another rule is adopted. So this bill would require that the new rule be applied only going forward. I urge an aye vote.
Further discussion? Question now rises by the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 498. Those opinion bills pass. The ayes opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bates. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Juanes Anderson, Monroe,
looks like Friday will be
Morissette,
so we
Morse,
need to go in on Friday. Looks like it's going to be, yes.
Nelson, Brzozinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, President Courtney?
Yes.
30 ayes.
The Senate Bill 498, having some constant majority, is declared passed. Clerk, please read the bill.
Senate Bill 607, related outdoor advertising signs.
Okay, Senator Larry George, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, the Business Transportation Committee has spent a great deal of time on the issue of billboards this year, and out of that grew this issue of whether or not some of these signs were transferable and what was happening, and there's this big discussion about the transfer rights and those types of things. And one of the issues that came glaring was is that there, in certain jurisdictions, there are landowners who are, in essence, being held over the barrel by large sign companies. And so we took Senate Bill 607 to address that problem. And I want to compliment both the billboard companies, the large billboard companies, and the largest city in the state for being incredibly flexible with us. Both of those organizations gave a total 100% give on this to fix this problem. Both the city of Portland was incredibly flexible and was allowed us to make this, and it's a 100% give for them as far as they gave up, but they didn't get anything back. Same thing with the billboard companies and the outdoor advertising industry. 100% was flexible on this particular piece of legislation. I want to compliment them on this. This particular bill is a compromise bill that I think would settle this issue about what happens in the future to these transfer rights for many sessions into the future. And I appreciate everybody coming together to come to a consensus bill that I think comes up with good legislation that allows the property owner who has a billboard on their property to be able to negotiate with other billboard companies and allows for competition in the market, but at the same time limits outdoor advertising. So thank you, Mr. President. I urge an aye vote.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Verger, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I voted no in committee, and the reason that I did is that if there is a sign on a person's property and it was grandfathered in, and at that time it was appropriate for that sign to be there, but now the sign is moved, the city or county cannot say to that landowner, I'm sorry, but we don't need your sign blocking our beautiful scenery. I think this was a problem trying to be solved in our largest city in Portland, and I'm sorry about that. I'm sure they'd like to have some of these lease negotiations better handled. However, I think that where it preempts cities and counties from saying how they can manage their sign ordinance, I think it's wrong. So I voted no.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator George, you wish to close? Question on rise upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 607. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Monis Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Burdick, Moniz Anderson, Nelson, Telfer, Verger, Whitsett, 24 ayes.
And the Senate Bill 607, having received custody majority, is declared passed. I have your attention, whatever we're trying to do. I've met with the two Democrat and Republican leaders. I'm going to work through the noon hour and hopefully clear all the Senate bills off the calendar so we will not have to come back tonight. I'll set over the House bills. We also are going to work hard. If we are able to clear the calendar working through Thursday, perhaps a Thursday night session, we will not be here on Friday. We'll not have a Friday floor session. So that's what we're trying to do. I just wanted to put you on notice. And so we're going to work through the noon hour here today to see if we can get all the Senate bills done today. And if we can be able to clear the calendar by Thursday, and that probably will require a Thursday evening session, we will not have a floor session on Friday. So I just wanted to give you notice of that at this time. Thank you for indulging me. Would the clerk please read the bill?
Senate Bill 618, with military discharge records.
Recognize Senator Brian Boquist, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. 618 comes to your committee on judiciary, has no revenue impact. It does have a fiscal statement issued. It only impacts county clerks, but they're very supportive of the bill. What the bill does is exempt military discharge records from the public records disclosure. The bill is designed to protect veterans coming back so that their DD-214 and their discharge papers don't get released publicly, Social Security number and the rest out there. Good bill, should pass.
Thank you, Senator. Discussion? Question on rise upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 618. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Boquist. Burdick. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Devlin, Dingfeather, Ferrioli, George, George, Gerard, Hass, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes-Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
The Senate Bill 618, have received constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, please bill.
Senate Bill 633, will investment public funds.
Recognize Senator Brian Boquist.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, 4 years ago, I sat next to Senator Carter to my right as the Sudan Divestiture Act was passed across this floor. I chief co-sponsored that bill with Representative Buckley in the far chamber, not because it was my idea, because Representative Buckley had come to me and asked me if I would co-sponsor it. And being a typical soldier, I had an instantaneous flashback, and I said yes. What I flashed back to was about 6 months, about a year and a half before that, I spent in South Sudan. And it was interesting to have that flashback and another one shortly thereafter, because what I remembered was a day on the Bahr Ghazal River where some freedom fighters from the south stood and held off about 10,000 mounted cavalry to the north of them to protect 68,000 women and children behind them. Most of them were killed that day, and I remember walking down the line afterwards with the commander, and they were choosing who would get on the medevac flight, what young 19-year-old would live or die that day and get medical attention. And that haunted me. And likewise, when the sponsors or the requesters of this bill, which I'll get in a minute, came to my office, I had another flashback to a day when I was watching CNN to my horror announce the deaths of seven of the soldiers in my command in Iraq erroneously. Three of them were in fact dead. Four of them were on their dying bed. And we were doing everything we could to get a hold of the families so that they would know beforehand what had transpired. I also had a decision where I made a decision just before leaving Iraq. Had I made the right decision, 100 American soldiers have been alive. For that reason, I said I'd take every opportunity to protect those soldiers. Now, SB 633 comes from the Committee on Education and Government. It came out 4-1, and it's a very simple bill. It aligns our laws with the laws of the federal government in regard to investments in Iran. There are a lot of other states, 12 in fact, who have tougher laws than ours. We're simply aligning our sanctions law with the support of the state treasurer, with the support of the attorney general, and taking care of fiduciary responsibilities with federal law. We align to environmental laws. We align to labor laws. We align to tax code sometimes. We might debate that on the floor. And yesterday we aligned with the American Disabilities Act. The sponsors of this bill are not just me, because this was not my idea. If you look at the sponsors on the Ann Gross bill, you'll see a whole host of Democrats and Republicans in both chambers. The question is always asked, well, why do we have to comply with federal laws? I have in my hand a stack of 31 CFR 560, which is a set of federal laws which we're simply aligning ourselves to with broad support. If we don't align with those federal laws, what happens under this administration, who is enforcing the federal laws, I say again, and will openly admit, the Bush administration did not support these laws in the past. The Obama administration is. If we don't align with them, they come out and they make you sign a memorandum of understanding, and then they do a bunch of investigation that costs a lot of money. Now, in the committee, there was opposition to this bill, and the concern we raised about fiduciary responsibility. As I mentioned, the Attorney General and the State Treasurer's leadership on this bill was critical. The Attorney General's office drafted language to ensure that the fiduciary responsibility of the Oregon Investment Council and the State Treasurer and PERS would be respected and would be preeminent. When it comes to fiduciary responsibility, it's interesting that 11 of the companies that are doing business in Iran that the Treasurer could identify Four of them are doing business in Sudan. Four of them are in the top four, one, two, three, four, of genocide sponsors in Sudan. More interestingly enough, in the fiduciary responsibility, those four companies that are operating in Sudan that are also operating in Iran have underperformed their peer groups by 45%. From a fiduciary responsibility, why would you invest in a company that underperforms its peers by 45%? It is an interesting question. Also, why would you invest in a country like Sudan, where the International Criminal Court has a warrant for the arrest for genocide of the president, and over in Iran, there are four United Nations Security Council resolutions against them? So when you talk about fiduciary responsibility, we need to be very careful that we identify that properly. I would also point out that the Oregon Investment Council, 2 years ago, adopted rules inside their investment group, new language, they said, that took into account political, social, and legal circumstances in various nations and regions of the world that may impact the productivity of prudent investments. And as I said, what we're trying to do is align with federal law, and the same culprits we have in one country are the same culprits in another country. With that, I will be quiet, respect any members' comments, and then I will close with the real reason we should support this bill. Thank you, Mr. President.
Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
To the bill. Mr. President, I strive very closely to keep my private life private from my public life. But this bill and this interest actually has come to me, and I'm very honored to work with Senator Boqvist on it out of an abundance of experience I have working in the Middle East. It was an issue that I've seen some colleagues around the country bring up, and it was an issue that I pre-session filed and then found out, as in most things in this building, it's always better to combine forces. And so let me just tell you that there is a real human side of why Oregon should not be doing business. There's two reasons why. Number one is that this is a bad neighbor in a tough neighborhood. Secondly is that this particular country has done the American soldier a tremendous amount of harm. And my first exposure to working close on the border with this country had to do with a group of Gold Star parents who had lost their loved ones in war. And as I took them to introduce them to the people that I work with, the Kurds, it left an indelible impression not only on my life, but also on the things that you can do through my public life and all of our public life to support them. I could not imagine a senator voting no on this who also supported when we deinvested in South Africa and apartheid. I could not imagine a senator on this floor voting no on this when we voted to deinvest in genocide that took place in the Sudan. And I could not imagine a senator to vote against this if they have ever experienced genocide that happens in northern Iraq and in this part of the world, many of which the tools of that genocide come from this country. Now, this bill certainly does not harm our friends in the region. It protects them. This bill does not slap the face of the American soldier. It says, we're with you. And it also says to the peace-loving people of this country that we will be with you, but your country needs to change to become peace-loving, to not sponsor terror. There's so much more that can be said about this bill, but I would urge a strong, unanimous yes vote out of consistency of what this body has done in South Africa and the Sudan, and with Senator Boquist's remonstrance this morning about the large amount of Oregon citizens that will be on the front line starting the 1st of July. I would urge a yes vote.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Boquist, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, over the last week or so, there's been some floor letters that have come out onto the floor from various individuals and various senators on this subject. I just want to kind of peruse through them to show you the level of bipartisan support and the level of concern. May 9th, 2009, Actions to Toughen Sanctions. Senator Gillibrand, member of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, co-sponsored legislation to provide President Obama with expanded authorities. The who's who of Democrats and Republicans, from Lieberman to Bay to Murray to Wyden to everybody to Kyle, are on that press release. Mother-son deployment, Statesman Journal, May 3rd. Making history, Oregon National Guard has deployed fathers and sons, they're going again. Husbands and wives, they're going now. Even mothers and daughters, but not since the war begun, the first time of a mother-son deployment of the National Guard. 2,700 soldiers deploying from the 41st Brigade make this the largest deployment since World War II. It's interesting that the mother who's going as a public affairs specialist said about her son, who was a combat infantryman, his job, no doubt, will be more dangerous. He will spend his time behind the wheel of a convoy on escort missions protecting other soldiers. April 29th, New York Times. North Korea duels with Iran for top Axis ranking. While Iran's leader has said that the hidden Iman, a 12th century religious leader Shiite believed to have cheated death, is directing his government's policies. Iran, new target. Egypt, April 28, 2009. Cairo's desire for Middle East peace threatens Tehran's national ambitions. In the past 6 months, there have been irrefutable signs of Iran's determined effort to sabotage Egypt's attempts at regional stability. April 18, President Obama dismayed at Iranian sentence. U.S. journalist sentenced to 8 years for spying, a former Miss America contestant. President Obama is deeply concerned at the news, said his spokesman. U.S. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton earlier expressed her disappointment in the sentence. Verdict came despite Obama administration calls for release. May 4th, 2009, Iran launches airstrike into Iraq. Let me say that again. As our soldiers are on their way to Camp Roberts, they will be in Iraq on the first day of July. Iran launches airstrike into Iraq, May 4th, 2009. Long War Journal, U.S. targets Iranian networks. IRAMs, which are also known as flying IDs, are known to be used for the Hezbollah brigades and Iranian-backed terror groups operating in Baghdad. March 17th, 2009, United States shoots down Iranian drone over Iraq. Allied aircraft shot down Iranian unmanned aerial vehicle February 25th, 60 miles northeast of Baghdad. And then, of course, you have pictures of all of the Iranian arms and ammunition that is used to deal with our troops, if that's how you perceive it. Now, let me tell you why you should vote it. Why is this a district issue? Why is this not an international issue? Why is this not a national issue? Why is this not a state issue? Why is this a district issue? I have in my hand the letter from Major General Raymond F. Reese announcing the mobilization of 3,200 citizen soldiers on Saturday. I passed out to you, there were several organizations that used to do this for us, because the war is not on the 6 o'clock news, it will be in Oregon starting July 2nd. I passed out to you a sheet that is a reprint that used to be printed by a nonprofit group. It comes courtesy of Governor Ted Kulongoski, and my thanks to him. It's Oregon's most honorable. 114 Oregon-related fatalities in the war. 71 killed in action. 497 wounded from the state of Oregon. I had a conversation with the good senator from Albany about his distinction. Unfortunately, of the 117 114 that are on the list and 71 killed in action. 11 came from Senator Morris's district. 11 were killed in Senator Morris's district. 9 were killed in Senator Nelson's district. 10 were killed in Senator Verger's district. 6 each killed in Senator Carter and Senator Metzger's district. The wounded is generally 8 to 10 more. So if a district lost 6, it probably had 24 wounded, many coming back without arms and legs, and 5 each in Senator Telfler, Senator Cruz, and Senator Ferrioli's. I didn't get above the 5 mark, thank God. My district lost 4 killed, but 2 other soldiers that are on that list in front of you were in my command in Iraq. This is a hometown Oregon issue. This isn't a state issue. This isn't a federal issue. This isn't an international issue. Between July 1 of this year and July 1 of next, the year after that, unfortunately, virtually every one of us in this room is going to attend a funeral for one of those citizen soldiers that left yesterday. I urge an aye vote, Mr. President.
Call the Senate. And he's joined by Senator Jeff Cruz and Senator Joanne Verger. The doorkeepers will bar the doors, and the sergeant-at-arms will attend. The clerk will please call the roll of the Senate.
Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Haas, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Montes Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Nelson, Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Verger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, President Courtney.
Here.
All present.
All those subject to call are present. The question now rises upon the third reading, the final passage of Senate Bill 633. Those of the opinion the bill shall pass will say aye. Those opposed, no. The clerk will please call the roll. Excuse me.
Burdick. Carter. Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Gerard.
Aye.
Haas. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger. Montes Anderson. Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Brzezinski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Verger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters,
aye.
Atkinson,
yes.
Bates,
aye.
Bonamici,
aye.
Boquist,
aye.
President Courtney,
yes.
Voting no, Burdick, Carter, Metzger, 27 ayes.
The Senate Bill 633, having a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 646, one by the levels.
Recognize Senator Bill Morissette.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 646 is an equity issue for AAA area agencies, aging and disabilities. Community partners, colleagues, are doing the work of the state for 10% less funding than state employees get. And for your information, the area agencies on aging are statutorily designated entities that provide long-term care system for seniors. In Oregon, the services to people with disabilities are also part of the equation. The AAAs coordinate and support a wide range of home and community basic services, including but not limited to information and assistance, home delivery of meals, and congregate meals, transportation, employment services, senior centers, adult daycare, the Oregon Project Independence, caregivers, legal and respite services, And these are extremely important services provided by various counties, but at a 10% discount to the state, which is unfair. Statutorily, the state is supposed to pay 95% of equity. In reality, they pay anywhere from 85 to 90%. Right now, they're paying 90%. So what this bill does is requires the agency, people with disabilities, to put in their budget 95%. That doesn't mean that the governor will necessarily put it in his budget, and that doesn't mean that the Ways and Means will put it in their budget, but this does require the agency to at least follow the statutory direction and put 95%. So this is a good bill, it's an equity bill, and I urge an aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? There's now rise upon the third and final passage of Senate Bill 646. Those opinion bills pass the aisle. This post no clerk. Please call the roll.
Carter. Carter.
Go ahead.
Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Bonas Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no, Atkinson, Carter, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Winters. 24 ayes.
Senate Bill 646, Senator Chief Counselor Gerard declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 679, Related Health Benefit Plan Dividends Paid for Healthy Lifestyles.
Recognize Senator Frank Morris.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, colleagues, Senate Bill 679 comes with a unanimous vote from the Committee on Health Care and Veterans Affairs. The bill is simple, yet elegant, with potentially profound positive impacts on health and health care costs. The bill simply states that insurers offering a health benefit plan may pay cash dividends to enrollees in the plan who participate in a program approved by the insurer that promotes healthy behaviors. The concept of Senate Bill 679 anticipates, though does not direct, that insurance companies will develop collaborative efforts with community-based programs that focus on tobacco cessation, obesity, fitness, and nutrition. Colleagues, we have all heard the statistics. Tobacco use costs Oregonians more than $2 billion per year. It is responsible for the deaths of 430,000 persons in the United States. And it is projected that nearly 5 million children living in the United States will die prematurely due to tobacco use. General Electric is currently paying $750 to tobacco users who successfully complete a smoking cessation program and expects to recoup the costs of the program in 3 to 5 years. And it isn't just tobacco. It can be argued that obesity is Oregon's number one health challenge. Obesity-related health problems cost Oregonians more than $781 million each year. Between 1987 and 2001, it has been estimated the diseases associated with obesity accounted for 27% of the increases, colleagues, increases in medical costs. And in 2007, it was estimated that 1.7 million Oregon adults are either overweight or obese, representing 62% of the population. We all know the value of fitness. A daily hour of moderate exercise can lower your risk of diabetes by nearly 50%. Regular exercise reduces blood pressure by an average of 7 to 10 points. Physically active men and women may be 40 to 50% less likely to develop colon cancer than sedentary people. And active women may be 30 to 40% less likely to develop cervical or breast cancer. It has been determined that aerobic exercise and strength training may be as effective for treating depression as drugs and psychotherapy. Colleagues, exercise is good for your brain. Other studies show that exercise improves memories. Now, what will this bill do? What this bill does is it opens the door for insurance companies to offer competitive products that create incentives for Oregonians to change their lifestyles in ways that result in better health that in turn results in lower health care costs. In my own community, and I know in yours as well, there are many ways for insurance companies to engage community-based wellness programs through organizations such as the YMCA, health clubs, churches, and employers. And I found it interesting in a recent article in the March-April edition of the American Health Insurance Plans magazine called Coverage, states, and I quote, "A consensus is emerging that for wellness programs to be effective, they must be incorporated into people's daily lives. To help people make good health a priority as they go about daily living, health plans are forming partnerships with employers, physicians, schools, and communities to offer wellness programs that support healthy behaviors in a range of environments. Senate Bill 679 gives a strong nudge and incentives for insurance companies to be creative in promoting healthy lifestyles. It is a win-win proposition. Colleagues, I urge an aye vote for a little bill with big consequences. Thank you, Mr. President."
Thank you. Question, is there further discussion of the measure? Question on the bond 30 to final passage of Senate Bill 679. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Devlin.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Dingfelder.
Aye.
Ferrioli.
Aye.
George.
Aye.
Girard.
Aye.
Haas.
Aye.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger. Juan Anderson. Monroe. Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Przonski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer. Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, President Courtney, 30 ayes.
The Senate Bill 679, having received constant majority, is declared passed. Will the clerk please read the bill?
Senate Bill 687, the lawyer trust counts.
Recognize Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, Senate Bill 687 comes to you unanimously from the Senate Judiciary Committee. This bill is designed to assist with funding for legal services for low-income Oregonians. Legal service programs provide attorneys for civil legal matters to Oregonians who fall below certain income thresholds. They typically provide services relating to domestic violence victims, landlord-tenant problems, such as evictions, and various domestic relations problems. These programs provide direct legal services to approximately 20,000 low-income Oregonians in 2008, but we know that that number is just a fraction of the number of Oregonians currently in need. In fact, legal services is able to help less than 20% of those who qualify for legal services. Under current law, lawyers are required to maintain client trust accounts. Interest earned on those accounts is dedicated to the interest on lawyer trust account program, and the proceeds go primarily to funding legal services programs in Oregon. But unfortunately, the amount of interest generated on those accounts is dropping as banks have reduced their interest rates. Currently, any abandoned funds in the lawyer trust accounts, that is, funds that belong to former clients but which the attorney cannot return because they're unable to locate the client, are sent to the Department of State Lands. Senate Bill 687 helps to make up some of the gap in legal services funding by requiring that the abandoned funds in those accounts, those are the lawyer trust accounts, be transferred to the Oregon State Bar for legal aid services. If the rightful owner of the transferred funds is eventually located and then files a claim for return of the abandoned property, the department will forward the claim onto the Oregon State Bar, and the Oregon State Bar will be responsible for reviewing the claim and making any appropriate payment. Mr. President, this bill will help low-income Oregonians get the legal services they need, and that is especially important in these difficult economic times. I urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 687. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Is there further discussion of the measure? Question on the 30 to final passage. Senate Bill 687. Those opinion bills passed. The ayes have no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Girard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger, Montez Anderson, Monroe, Morissette, Morse, Morse, Nelson, Przonski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. President Courtney. Voting no, Atkinson, Farioli, George, Girard, Cruz, Nelson, Starr, Winters, 22 ayes.
The Senate Bill 687, having received custom majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 691, ruling compensation.
Recognize Senator Floyd Buzanski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, Senate Bill 691 came out of your Environment and Natural Resources Committee on a 5-0 vote. What this bill is going to do is going to modify the provisions currently in place regarding claiming compensation for land use regulations that restricts forest practices on private real property. It's one that came to us based on work that was done during the Measure 49 rewrite, and at this point it basically will provide for claims to be filed on those properties that would not currently be allowed. It does, in fact, allow the claim to be filed by an individual owner, and the property actually to be transferred. Subsequent owner can also utilize on the claim that has been previously filed. It's a good bill. Should pass. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion? Motion authorized by the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 691. Those opinion bills pass. The ayes are no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Farioli. George. Girard. Hass. Hass.
Hass.
Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz. Metzger. Montes Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Przonski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Cruz. 29 ayes.
The Senate Bill 691, having received custom majority, declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 763, on transfer of development credits.
Recognize Senator Martha Schrader.
Thank you, President of the Senate, Peter Courtney, and colleagues. Senate Bill 763, the transfer of development credits bill, is an important piece of legislation that will provide communities with a new market-based method to help preserve resources while planning for growth and development. TDC programs simply allow a landowner to sell credits from land that a community desires to protect to land the community desires to see developed. Purchasers of such development credits gain development opportunities they would not otherwise be allowed. Sellers of credits obtain a market price for their foregone development opportunities. After credits are transferred, conservation easements are attached to resource land to protect it from development in perpetuity. Lands can be protected for farm, forest, or other natural resource, historic, or scenic values. Cities, counties, states, or private entities are allowed to establish and manage TDC programs, including programs that operate between governments. TDC programs are strictly voluntary at both the community and landowner level. In establishing such a program, communities may choose both sending and receiving areas for developing credits. The attraction for owners of farmland, forest land, or other natural resource land is that they may market the development value of their land without having to develop the land itself. The attraction for developers is that they may purchase the option to develop either more intensively than would otherwise be allowed or in a manner or with additional uses that would otherwise not be allowed at selected receiving areas. This bill was developed by a work group consisting of a diverse group of stakeholders. The work group was established with bipartisan membership by the Interim House Environment Committee, which began work on the elements of the bill in the fall of 2008. There are scores of successful TDC programs across the United States, but this planning tool has had, to date, very little use in Oregon. The nation's most successful TDC program is in Montgomery County, Maryland, and has protected thousands of acres of resource land by transferring development credits to areas planned for growth and development. Good bill. Do pass. Thank you, colleagues.
Thank you. Discussion? Question arises by the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 763. Those opinion bills pass. The ayes opposed no. Clerk, please call the roll.
George.
Aye.
Girard.
No.
Hass. Johnson.
Aye.
Cruz.
Aye.
Metzger.
Aye.
Montes Anderson.
Aye.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
Aye.
Przonski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader.
Aye.
Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker. Whitsett, Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Girard, Cruz, Whitsett, 27 ayes.
Senate Bill 763 has received constant majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 786, we offer rule of discrimination.
Recognize Senator Dave Nelson.
Mr. President, Senate Bill 786 restores original title, federal Title VII legal standard involving religious discrimination. It basically lists out the factors that employers will consider deciding when accommodation is possible. There's been about almost 300 workplace accommodation mediations that have taken place. So there, what this bill does is cleans up the language, very narrowly drafted. I appreciate your support.
Thank you. Discussion? Question now recognized, Senator Doug Whitsett.
Thank you, Mr. President. Just very briefly, I oppose this in committee because Senate Bill 786A applies to the first employee, the very first employee. So in a small business, it'll be Boley or the civil courts who will decide what is reasonable, what is a reasonable accommodation in this time of small business closure, struggling unemployment. I don't think it's time to make it more difficult to be a small business owner. Thank you.
So now, do you wish to close? The question now rises upon third reading of the final passage of Senate Bill 786. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Girard. Girard. Hass. Hass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Bonnet Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Burdick, Ferrioli, George, Girard, Johnson, Cruz, Metzger, Morse, Telfer, Walker, Whitsett. 19 ayes.
786, I receive custom majority declared passed. Senator Burdick, for what purpose you rise?
Vote explanation, Mr. President.
Please file it.
Thank you. I voted against Senate Bill 786, not because I disagreed with the intent of this bill, but because of its breadth and because of the problems I believe it will cause from unintended consequences in the workplace. Religious orientation is already a protected class under both federal and state law, so people who are exercising their religious freedom within the workplace have protection against anything that would create a hostile work environment. Insofar as this bill makes sure that days off of a religious importance are secured, I support this bill. But when you get into dress codes and that sort of area, I believe it's a nightmare for employers. It creates confusion. I don't believe it fulfills the intent of this law, and that is why I voted no.
Clerk reads the bill.
Senate Bill 794, in combination.
Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, it's not often that a bill comes to the floor with support of the City of Portland and Oregonians in Action, but we have one here today. Senate Bill 794A comes to you unanimously from the Senate Judiciary Committee. The bill addresses a lesser-known provision of Ballot Measure 39, which was passed by Oregon voters in 2006. As you may recall, this measure prohibited a public entity from condemning private property if the intent was to convey the property to a private developer. The measure was a response to the U.S. Supreme Court's decision in the Kelo case. However, the measure also significantly altered the attorney's fees portion of the statute, requiring that the public entity pay the property owner's costs and attorney's fees if the court's award exceeded the public entity's initial offer. This provision has resulted in the unintended consequence that the property owner always has an incentive to take the case to trial, as it is likely that the court will award compensation somewhere between the first offer and the property owner's demand. The effect of this change has been to discourage settlement, promote litigation, and increase the cost of public projects. It means that a public entity will frequently offer considerably more than fair market value to limit its exposure, which means fewer resources available for needed projects and services. Senate Bill 794A makes two changes to current law. First, it changes the attorney fee trigger provision from the government's initial written offer to the highest written offer prior to the filing of a lawsuit. This provision will increase the likelihood that many of the cases will be successfully negotiated and settle without initiating legal proceeding. For the cases that do not settle early, the bill also allows a public entity to make an offer of compromise until 10 days before trial. Whether the property owner decides to accept or reject the offer under this bill, they will be entitled to recover their costs and fees up to the date of the offer. If the property owner rejects the offer and the court's award is more favorable, then the property owner is entitled to all of their costs and fees through the end of trial. Colleagues, this bill is a compromise between what the law is today and what the law was prior to Measure 39. It strikes an appropriate balance so that property owners and public entities have equal incentive to avoid litigation and pursue fair and expeditious settlement. I urge your aye vote on Senate Bill 794. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion? Motion authorized by the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 794. Those opinions of the bill pass. The ayes opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Pass. Pass. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Bonas Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski. Rosenbaum. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. President Courtney.
Yes.
30 ayes.
The Senate Bill 794, which is the custom majority, declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
Senate Bill 863, relating reimbursement of local filmmaker productions.
Recognize Senator Chris Telfer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Bill 863 is important to the continuation and growth of Oregon's current Production Investment Fund, which is administered by the Oregon Film and Video Office. By carving out 5% of this existing fund for Oregon filmmakers, this job-creating legislation will be an important step in creating long-term creative stability. By sustainable film industry, I mean Oregon will have more qualified people to fill the big films-TV shows that come from out of state, thus making Oregon look even more attractive. Oregon-based projects build and maintain a solid crew base for all film projects, whether from in-state or out of the state. Money that funds Oregon's originated projects stays in Oregon, not Hollywood. Oregon filmmakers want to keep filming in Oregon. Supporting the local, smaller budget producers today is investing in the future bigger budget producer of tomorrow. And finally, financial support for lower budget projects quickly encourages development of a stronger infrastructure, which makes Oregon more attractive to outside production companies and provides more avenues for retaining pre-production, production, and post-production dollars. I encourage an aye vote.
Thank you. Discussion. Recognize Senator Atkinson.
Mr. President, declare a potential conflict of interest.
Please note your potential conflict of interest.
Mr. President, out of an abundance of caution, my company consults in the area of filmmaking and film funding and has had an Oregon client.
Thank you. For the discussion, question arises upon the third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 863. Those opinion bills pass. Say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Bonas Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzezinski, Rosenbaum, Schrader, Starr, Telfer, Berger, Walker, Whitsett, Winters, Atkinson, Bates, Bonamici, Boquist, Burdick, Carter, Devlin, Dingfelder, Ferrioli, George, Gerard, Hass, President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. Gerard Cruz, 28 ayes.
The Senate Bill 863, having received council majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 877, the Greenville Field Program.
Recognize Senator Floyd Brzezinski.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I move that we take Senate Bill 877 from its place on today's third reading calendar and refer it to the Judiciary Committee.
Mr. Brzezinski has moved that Senate Bill 877 be taken from its place on today's third reading calendar and be referred to the Judiciary Committee. Do you have a motion?
Mr. President, it appears we have some constitutional issues and we need to take it back to committee. Thank you.
Thank you. Discussion? The question is on taking Senate Bill 877 from its place on today's third reading calendar and re-referring it to the Senate Judiciary Committee. All those in favor say aye. Aye. All those opposed, no. The motion has carried. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 911, relating persons found guilty except for insanity.
Senator, recognize Senator Bruce Starr.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I stand asking your support for Senate Bill 911. Imagine for a moment an old Alzheimer's facility in your community. At one time, it served up to 20 elderly people before it closed down. Then a couple years later, you find it's been reopened. Only this time, the occupants include people who have committed violent crimes, arson, assault, kidnap, sex abuse, sodomy, rape. These people all pleaded guilty, except for insanity. There's a daycare next door to this facility, and a school bus stop just a few yards away. The occupants are allowed to go out for smoke breaks in an area surrounded by a four-foot-high fence. The staff inside were hired off of Craigslist, and they take these clients for walks in the neighborhood with only a cell phone to dial 911 as a security measure. The place has been operating for months, right in the middle of your legislative district. But you didn't have a clue. Neither did the neighbors, neither did the police chief or the fire marshal. Not until the sheriff put out notices to over 1,000 people in the area surrounding the home because he felt there were predatory sex offenders there and the community deserved to know. This facility, my friends, is called the Connell House. It's one of 8 SRTFs, secure residential treatment facilities that are scattered throughout our state. And more are coming as we downsize the state hospital to transition to community placements as we build a new state facility. Senate Bill 911 addresses only a portion of the concerns voiced by residents and local law enforcement, but it is a significant step in the right direction. This measure deals with those SRTFs, those facilities that are supposed to be the most secure. However, there's no definition in state law for SRTFs, and what's worse, there are no standards. No standards for security, no standards for health and safety, no standards for staff training. Senate Bill 911 puts those standards in place. And when I say lack of security standards, let me give you a couple examples. In Woodburn, there's an SRTF which allows several clients to leave and go and work all day. Others around the state grant passes for unsupervised trips in the community. But in Pendleton, the newest facility, it's enclosed by a 10-foot alarm-secured fence. Doors locked 24/7 with security cameras. Another SRTF proposed for Vail last year was going to have a 3-foot-deep wide moat, 6-foot vinyl fence, and alarmed windows, the whole 9 yards. But what about basic health and safety standards? A couple of weeks ago, there was a fire at the home next door to the Connell House in Cornelius. What would have happened if the flames had spread to the Connell House and the folks had to be evacuated? Again, there are no standards. Last year, the governor convened a large group of stakeholders involved in the whole and involved the whole community placement debate, and they produced a list of recommendations. Senate Bill 911 was on their list of recommendations, calling for safe, effective operation of SRTFs to include facility security issues, staff training, and other issues. Finally, I've been a strong supporter of Oregonians with mental health issues and will continue to be. However, I believe that neighborhoods and neighbors deserve the highest security standards possible. I ask for your support for Senate Bill 911 to send a message that these facilities, before there is a tragic incident, before we move any more of these dangerous people in our communities, we can do a better job. We must do a better job of protecting the public. Ask for your aye vote. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion. Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 911. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Cruz. Metzger. Metzger.
Go on.
Munns Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter, 29 ayes.
The Senate Bill 911 absent the Council majority declared passed. Clerk reads the bill.
Senate Bill 928 relating to unlawful employment.
Recognized Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I urge your support of Senate Bill 928A, which provides important protection for employees who are victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, or stalking. Very simply, the bill does two things. It prohibits discrimination against employees because they're victims, and it requires that employers make reasonable safety accommodations for employees who are victims, unless the accommodation would impose an undue hardship on the employer. Victims of domestic and sexual violence should not face the threat of job loss as a result of illegal acts of violent offenders. Allowing discrimination against a person based on the acts of others against him or her is illogical and against public policy. And yet, according to the Center for Disease Control, between one-fourth and one-half of all domestic violence victims report suffering negative employment consequences as a result of the victimization. And almost half of sexual assault survivors lose their jobs or are forced to quit in the aftermath of the assault. Without economic resources, victims cannot achieve safety for themselves or their children. Economic independence is a primary indicator of whether a victim will be able to maintain safety from abuse. Without that economic security, some victims may feel compelled to return to abusive situations as an alternative to homelessness or to ensure that their children are supported. This bill will help employee victims take reasonable measures to achieve safety without losing their jobs. Employers have a basic economic interest in helping employees address the victimization for the benefit of their employees who are victims, for the benefit of coworkers, and for the benefit of the bottom line. Making reasonable safety accommodations at work can be very simple. Changing a phone extension number may be all it takes to prevent harassing phone calls. Or moving a salesperson from the floor to the stockroom may provide protection from stalking. And improving the lighting in a parking lot could help assure a victim of a sexual assault the safety she needs to find her car after work. It's in the best interest of the employers as well as the victims to make these reasonable accommodations. The bill is fair to employers. It allows them to require documentation that their employees are eligible for the relief allowed, and if the accommodations requested would cause undue hardship, they need not accommodate. This complements and is consistent with other relief provided in Oregon and other states, and the protection proposed in this bill already applies to state agencies because of an executive order. This bill is consistent with the executive order and would take the important step of extending the protection currently available to state employees to all employees. It will make a strong public policy stand protecting victims from discrimination in employment and permit victims to request reasonable steps to protect themselves at their workplaces. I urge an aye vote, Mr. President, on Senate Bill 928A. Thank you.
Thank you. Discussion, Senator Lori Montes Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Reducing domestic violence and sexual violence in our state is an important public health and safety priority. These crimes affect men, women, and children in our community, and each year, between 18 and 27 people are killed as a result of intimate partner violence, and thousands more are injured. Statistics show that one in six Oregon women is a victim of rape, and the impact of these crimes on victims and on our public health and safety systems is staggering. It's estimated that intimate partner violence costs the state of Oregon more than $50 million a year in emergency response, health care, and other costs. This bill will help employ victims take reasonable measures to achieve safety without losing their jobs. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Bonamici, do you wish to close?
No, thank you, Mr. President.
Question now rises upon the third reading and final passage. Senate Bill 928. Those of your bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Metzger.
Aye.
Mons Anderson. Monroe. Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson. Brzozinski. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters.
Aye.
Atkinson.
Aye.
Bates.
Aye.
Bonamici.
Aye.
Boquist.
Aye.
Burdick.
Aye.
Carter. Devlin,
aye.
Dingfelder,
aye.
Ferrioli,
aye.
George,
aye.
Gerard,
aye.
Haas,
aye.
Johnson, Cruz,
aye.
President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter, Johnson, voting no. Cruz, Berger, Whitsett. 25 ayes.
The Senate bill 928, having substantial majority declared passed. Clerk reads bill. Excuse me. Oh, Senator Berger, for what purpose do you rise?
Voter explanation, please.
Please file your vote explanation.
Mr. President, I'm very sympathetic with domestic violence victims and have volunteered in the crisis center many times. However, I do believe that the list of demands on an employer could lead to some actually compromising positions for an employer to be involved in family matters of a serious nature. And so for that reason, I voted no.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Jason Atkinson.
Vote explanation.
Please vote. File your vote explanation.
Mr. President, this domestic violence is a major issue that's facing us. And as you know, in conjunction with the support that I just gave for this bill, I also believe very strongly that we should have the ability to use a political tax credit as an option and allow those dollars to go to the homes that are safe houses for victims of domestic violence. As you know, that's a bill that's been stuck in committee, and I hope that it gets moving. But this is a direct reflection of the direct issue that we hope to fix by allowing that to be an option and get monies not only to Homes for Battered Women, but also into the Gospel Rescue Mission and various places where people who are on the ground every day dealing with homelessness and domestic violence can use those monies better than we can.
Thank you. Clerk reads the bill.
Senate Bill 952, in the red tents.
Recognize Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. President. Colleagues, I rise today to urge your support of Senate Bill 952A, a bill that will provide basic protection to tenants who are at risk of losing their homes when their landlord goes into foreclosure. We all know about the rising rates of foreclosure in Oregon, but we usually think about homeowners. This bill deals with the innocent tenant, many of whom have children in schools and families in their homes. Current Oregon law provides little protection for these renters in foreclosure. In fact, the law negates the interests of tenants completely. To make matters worse, current law allows a person who hopes to purchase a home in foreclosure to give an eviction notice before the sale when it's not even certain that they will become the new owner, causing uncertainty and frustration. Tenants who are forced to move because of foreclosure often need to leave without getting their security deposits back, making it more difficult for them to relocate. Senate Bill 952A provides a solution. First, it gives a notice to tenants who are living in a home that's in foreclosure with information about their rights and where they can go for assistance. Second, it modifies the procedure and timing around eviction notices. Third, it sets out new eviction timelines. Tenants who have fixed-term leases can stay after the foreclosure until the lease expires or for up to 60 days, whichever is shorter. Or if they don't have a long-term lease, they can stay for 30 days after the sale. Fourth, Senate Bill 952A contains a security deposit protection so that tenants who receive a notice of foreclosure can apply any prepaid rent and security deposit toward an ongoing rent obligation. And finally, and importantly, Senate Bill 952A protects the purchaser in several ways. It only protects residential tenants in legitimate good faith rental agreements. The tenants must prove that they're entitled to the protection. Purchasers are released from liability for pre-existing issues or security deposits. And purchasers do not become landlords except if they accept rent, sign a new rental agreement, or don't terminate the tenant within 30 days. Colleagues, many large lenders, including Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, have already implemented these policies. 10 other states have passed protections similar to these proposed in the bill, except many of them give more time for the tenant to stay in the property, and several other states are considering legislation. I know you have a lot of floor letters about this bill, but I really want to call your attention to the Housing Alliance, because there's so many member organizations in the Housing Alliance urging your support of Senate Bill 952 to give tenants protection in foreclosure proceedings. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Discussion? Question on rise upon 30 to final passage of Senate Bill 952. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Montes Anderson. Monroe. Morissette. Morse. Nelson. Prozonsky. Rosenbaum. Schrader. Starr. Telfer. Berger. Walker. Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. President Courtney.
Yes.
Excused. Carter. Voting no. Gerard. Cruz. Nelson. Whitsett. 25 ayes.
The Senate Bill 952, having chief constable majority, is declared passed. Clerk reads bill.
Senate Bill 973, Living Life Insurance.
Recognize Senate verdict.
Thank you, Mr. President. I've oftentimes said on the Consumer and Business Consumer Protection and Public Affairs Committee, but I thought I've heard it all, and then something like Senate Bill 973 comes along, and I realize I haven't heard it all, that there are still new amazing things going on in this country that we are suffering the consequences of with the recent economy and the Wall Street abuses. Senate Bill 973 is crafted to address these same kind of abuses that have gotten us into the economic situation we've been in. But it has some very troubling elements and very personal elements. Senate Bill 973 works to prohibit a predatory scheme that targets Oregon's senior citizen population. This legislation revises life settlement insurance regulations to make Oregon the strongest in the nation in protecting its citizens from financial abuse. This bill would prohibit one of the most horrific types of financial abuse, stranger-oriented life insurance, commonly referred to as STOLI, which I had never heard of before, but listen to this. STOLI is a practice where investors encourage senior citizens to purchase life insurance in their own names, but agree to an arrangement where the investors pay the premiums and then profit when the policyholders die. Seniors are often coached to lie about their health and finances and the true intent of the arrangement. Sometimes the investors offer fees, gifts, even cruises to sweeten the deal so that they can collect the payoff when the senior citizen dies and they collect the life insurance settlement. As if this arrangement were not macabre enough, these transactions have created a secondary market wherein STOLI policies are then packaged and sold as securities to unwitting investors. Does this sound familiar? Again, creating a market that depends on the timely death of real people for a payout for investors. STOLI is rapidly emerging as a growing problem around the country and in Oregon, and particularly among our vulnerable senior population. Senate Bill 973 adopts the most effective and efficient provisions from the National Association of Insurance Commissioners and the National Coalition of Insurance Legislators model laws that have been carefully designed to stop these abuses while protecting a person's right to buy life insurance for the right reasons or to sell an unwanted policy. We have the responsibility to protect Oregon seniors from predatory practices, and I might note that the AARP endorses this legislation along with a strong segment of the Oregon insurance industry. Today we have the opportunity with 973 to make Oregon the strongest state in the nation in anti-STOLI protections for our most vulnerable citizens. And I want to thank the chair of the committee for bringing this to us and getting this bill to the floor for us to vote on today. I urge your aye vote, and I turn it over to my good chair to finish our carrying statement. Thank you, Mr. President.
Recognize Senator Bonamici, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. There really isn't too much I can add to what Senator Burdick already told you. I just want to emphasize that, colleagues, this type of transaction creates a financial incentive in the rapid death of senior citizens to profit investors. Senator Burdick explained the situation, and I want you to know that this is going to be the strongest bill in the country to protect our senior citizens from this kind of transaction. And what's happening is that seniors are getting stuck in these deals because of misrepresentations, and we need to act now to protect them. And please look at the floor letters. We have AARP, the National Association of Insurance and Financial Advisors, Standard Insurance, M Financial, State Farm, Nationwide, Farmers, MetLife, and more than 300 others who do business in this state. So please join me in voting for Senate Bill 973 to protect Oregon seniors. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Larry George, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I want to also compliment the chair for bringing this issue. I had never heard of this until it came up to our committee, and I did vote no simply because the bill came so quickly to us. It raised a number of questions. There's no doubt, colleagues, that this area is an area that needs regulations. Senate Bill 973 may actually be the best way to do it, but under the short time frame we had, there was a number of questions I had based around the fact that this was brought to us by insurance companies, and I'm concerned about them eliminating competition on compensating consumers for cash value. And so even though I believe I support the intent of this particular piece of legislation, and I think it definitely needs regulation, I voted no because I believe the bill needs to have some additional work on the House side, at least some additional debate beyond what we could have in our committee with the time constraints. And so I voted no, but I do believe that the chair did a great service of bringing this issue forward because I had never heard of it, and it clearly needs regulation. So I'm voting no. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator Burdick, do you wish to close? Senator Burdick doesn't wish to close. Okay. The question I rise upon the third reading, the final passage of Senate Bill 973. Those opinion bills passed, say aye. Those opposed, no. Clerk, please call the roll.
Monroe.
Aye.
Morissette.
Aye.
Morse.
Aye.
Nelson.
No.
Przonski.
Aye.
Rosenbaum.
Aye.
Schrader. Starr.
Aye.
Telfer.
No.
Verger.
Aye.
Walker.
Aye.
Whitsett. Winters. Atkinson. Bates. Bonamici. Boquist. Burdick. Carter. Devlin. Dingfelder. Ferrioli. George. Gerard. Haas. Johnson. Cruz. Metzger. Juanis Anderson. President Courtney.
Yes.
Voting no. George, Nelson, Telfer. 27 ayes.
The Senate Bill 973, having received constant majority, is declared passed. First reading of House measures.
H.C.R. 1, Memoriam Gene Modern, 1916-2008. House Bill 2211, Relating Soil Enhancing Projects. House Bill 2212, Relating State Department of Agricultural Control Methods, Property Money. House Bill 2213, Relating Invasive Species Council. House Bill 2458, Relating Commodity Commissions. House Bill 3055, Relating Revocation of Tomahawk Gift.
Transfer to the President's desk for referral. Second reading of House measures.
House Bill 2306, on exemptions from execution. House Bill 2366, on liabilities. House Bill 2383, on facility sales. House Bill 2434, with actions involving improvements to real property. House Bill 2507, Commission of High School. House Bill 2585, on class actions. House Bill 2702, on prescriptive authority to licensed psychologists. House Bill 2727, related to records of concealed handgun licenses. House Bill 2790, related to Board of Public Safety Standards Training. House Bill 2821, related to use of vacation leave. House Bill 2874, related to victims of crime. House Bill 2970, related to expansion of utilities. House Bill 2987, related to child care programs. House Bill 2988, related to voluntary control background registry. House Bill 3021, related to emergencies. House Bill 3039, related to qualifying renewable energy projects. House Bill 3116, related to financing for community college districts. House Bill 3171, jury service. House Bill 3219, related to Smoking, House Bill 3273 on Domestic Violence Programs, House Bill 3463 on the Bodily Assault.
Thank you. These are passed to the calendar and or transferred to the President's desk for referral. Without objection, the third reading, the remaining House measures, the third reading of the House measures, will be carried over till tomorrow's calendar, which is May 6th, which is Wednesday. Other business of the Senate, in accordance with SR 8.403, committee referral list number 104 was distributed to members May 4th. The referrals will be recorded in the Journal of State Report as so ordered. Announcements, recognize Senator Devlin first.
Thank you, Mr. President, colleagues. Senate Democrats, of course, will not be caucusing today, and Senate Democratic leadership will not also be meeting given the hour.
Recognize Senator Ted Ferrioli, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, this afternoon at 5 p.m. after the last gavel on your committees, Republicans, please come to the caucus room for a very important 20-minute caucus.
Thank you. Recognize Senator Burdick, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Finance and Revenue will meet at 1:30.
Recognize Senator Walker, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. The Subcommittee on Natural Resources, at least the Senate half, can be late. We will be there at 1:15. The committee can get started without a quorum. Thank you.
Thank you. There will be no floor session tonight. The Senate will convene tomorrow at 10:15 a.m. There will be no evening session tomorrow night. The Senate will convene at 10:15 on Thursday with a possible evening session from 5 to 6:30 on Thursday night. No floor session scheduled at this time for Friday, so I guess I'll put those in emails to you as well. If there are no further announcements without objection, the Senate is adjourned until 10:15 until tomorrow, which is Wednesday, May 6th. The Senate is now adjourned.